You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West Indianapolis Community News, and today we are breaking down the final preseason Pacers game tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers at home. It's the Pacers' first home game of the preseason, so the team can get their COVID protocols all figured out for the regular season's opening next Wednesday. It's sneaking up on us. Then I want to talk about the upcoming decisions the Pacers have to finalize their roster for the regular season, and then closing, talking about continuity, an article I wrote about continuity and tying in a lot of comments and feedback I got from players and Nate Bjorkgren on the team about continuity. But before we get to any of that, let's start with this game against the Sixers tonight, final preseason game. And I can finally stop talking about the preseason after it, so I'm excited about that. Next week, we get to preview some real action and games the Pacers are actually trying to win. But this Sixers game, you know, it's fun to look at some little interesting matchup stuff. Usually with these games, it's about, you know, me and Adam typically talk about how can Miles do against Embiid. He always gets punked, but can he, you know, a few times he's been able to make the early threes to just make Embiid's life a little harder on defense. Even if Miles is going to get a bunch of fouls and come out early, he can make Embiid's life harder. Well, let's back up. Miles is not playing, so that typical storyline is gone. The injury report for the Pacers in this final preseason game, a little bit lengthy. Brian Bowen remains out with a torn groin. Amita Brima is not with the team. Those two guys typically wouldn't play anyway. They're end-of-roster guys, but just noteworthy. And then Jeremy Lamb's still out with his torn ACL. TJ Warren is still out with plantar fasciitis. Turner is out with illness slash head injuries, actually being evaluated for a concussion, the NBA injury report says. They're all out tomorrow. And then Goga's actually probable. So no Turner Embiid to watch. So I'll be watching Sabonis Embiid. Basically, if Joel Embiid is playing, I am watching whatever matchup the Pacers have with him. Can they slow down some of the best on the inside? They're still going to be facing quality centers in the NBA all the time. How can they shut down any elite player? You know, that's always something to watch. The Cavs don't have anyone who's good enough that makes you really focus on that matchup and how they try to shut down a guy. But really, the Sixers, you know, they could be a potential first-round playoff opponent if the Pacers end up in that 6-7 range. I feel they could very easily end up in the 2-3 range. So getting an early feel for this Sixers team and the matchups is going to be very interesting to me. The Sixers will be playing two preseason games this year. The 76ers. They played the Celtics on Tuesday. And the Sixers, if you don't know, made a bunch of moves this offseason and really shook up their roster. So they got Al Horford out the door. They traded him with a first-round pick for Danny Green. So something the Sixers desperately needed was just a solid shooter. They haven't had one since J.J. Redick. And Green is not an awesome shooter. You know, the recent memories of him in the bubble are not fantastic. But he's definitely a better shooter than anything they had. And getting off of Horford's money was good for them. He can defend a little bit, too. He'll be a nice fit. They got Seth Curry from the Mavericks in exchange for Josh Richardson. Richardson can kind of dribble and shoot, but is better for his defense. The Sixers have enough D already. They can swap out Richardson for a better dribbling and shooting Curry, and that helps them a lot. I think he'll be really good for them. And then they still have Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Tobias Harris in their starting lineup. So this Sixers team is one that I'm really high on, and I think it's going to be really good this year. So I'm going to be very interested to see how the Pacers match up with them and can hang, because the Pacers had a lot of success against Philly last year, right? The last time we saw the Pacers take on the 76ers was T.J. Warren scoring 53 points in the bubble in a pivotal game that for playoff seeding. You know, that was before Ben Simmons' injury, so there were some questions about, you know, can the Sixers get up to the 4 seed or even be in the 5 seed spot? How's all that going to shake out? And the Pacers beat them, like, full strength, mano a mano. They just beat them. They played better. Warren was a huge part of that, but, you know, the Sixers were a team that the Pacers actually handled pretty well last year, surprisingly, because they're a solid team, and Embiid usually gives the Pacers fits. So, you know, can an improved or at least tweaked version of the Sixers, we'll see if it's actually improved, but I think it's going to be improved, but can a tweaked version of the Sixers still be a team the Pacers can do well against, right? Warren, he was a good matchup last year. Even if Richardson's a good defender, Warren found a way to score against him or Simmons, whoever was on him. But, you know, does adding Danny Green give the Sixers a new element that slows him down? Brogdon was good against this team last year. I think he's going to be really key in these matchups, including in this game, because Seth Curry, for all the good stuff he does, is a downgrade defensively, right? So someone between Warren's not going to play in this game. It's going to probably be Justin Holiday and Aaron Holiday starting, but this is just general season thoughts at this point. One of Warren, Oladipo, and Brogdon will be guarded by Seth Curry during the regular season. Whichever player that is has to have a good game. I'm imagining Seth Curry will be on Aaron Holiday in this preseason game. Again, same concept. Aaron Holiday needs to step up and take advantage of that matchup because Green's probably going to be on Oladipo. Harris will be on Justin Holiday, and they'll have Ben Simmons on Brogdon. So got to take advantage of the Seth Curry matchup if you're Aaron Holiday to get this team going. The bench, typically something we always say with the Sixers, where the Pacers can get an advantage, and they have in the past. Sabonis on the bench has killed everybody, including the Sixers. They have Shake Milton, Furkan Korkmaz, Dwight Howard, Mike Scott, Tyrese Maxey probably being the five bench guys. Maybe not Maxey when the season actually starts, but you know, Howard, good dunker, pretty good defender of the basket, but can't do anything outside of 5 feet, so any stretching of him would be good. Scott and Korkmaz, good offensive players, bad defensive players, and Shake Milton, great offensive player and terrible defensive player. So if the second unit can get the offense rolling, they can still, you know, go punch for punch with that group because it's not a good defensive group, especially outside of like 3 feet. But that group can score. That group's going to score really well. Shake Milton's really good. So that advantage might be neutralized a little bit because Turner's out, but it's a good opportunity for Goga. Can he stretch out Dwight Howard? He's going to be probably making his preseason debut. So that's another thing to watch in this game. Goga, how's he look? How does he fit in? Is he making better contact on screens? Is he making quicker reads? Does his defense look a little bit more like the guy we saw over in Europe as opposed to the guy we saw last year? Obviously, it's a different game, but that's something else I'm watching this game. It's just Goga in general, but it's the preseason, right? It's not, you know, it's not, there's two starters out. They're not trying to win. They're just trying to not get hurt and be healthy. So I'm really just kind of looking for very, very general things that can carry to the regular season. Who is Seth Curry guarding? Are the Sixers a lot better? Stuff like that. But yeah, really going to be a heavy eyes on Goga game because he has not played in the entire preseason. So I don't care who wins. Normally I'd make a prediction. I just don't care. I got to quit saying that on this show. It makes me sound bad, but I just don't care about these games. They just mean nothing to me. So yeah, it's going to be fun to watch a basketball game, though, and watch some two studs in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I'm looking forward to that. But after this game, the Pacers will have to make some roster moves because the cut deadline for the regular season coming up very soon. So I'm going to talk about what I think the Pacers could do or should do prior to this weekend. But first, let's take a short little break so I can talk to you guys about Headspace because life can be stressful even under normal circumstances. 2020 has challenged the most difficult times of life. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes. There's Headspace for that. It's your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in their easy-to-use app. It's one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. Whatever the situation, Headspace can help you overwhelmed. They have SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? They've got stuff for that. They can help you with meditations for you can do with your kids, and they can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, you name it, they got it. If you go to Headspace, which is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads, you can change your life and have better meditation practices. You deserve to feel happier. Check out headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free one-month trial. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free one-month trial and an access to Headspace full library of meditations for every situation. Best deal out there right now. Headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. Okay, cuts. The saddest thing in the NBA, but not really. But anyway, cuts or roster moves coming up for the Pacers. Free agency is over. All the fun and interesting team building stuff is over. All that's left is the really, really nitty gritty stuff that the Pacers will do that kind of might confuse people. We'll see. But anyway, so sometime over the weekend, I believe it's Saturday, it might be Sunday, I don't remember because the waiver process is involved in these cut-down dates sometimes. Anyway, sometime over the weekend is the official time teams will be finalizing rosters for sure for the regular season, and you can carry 15 players and two two-way players for a total of 17 into the regular season. Currently, the Pacers have 20. A lot of teams have 20 right now. A lot of teams can have 20 in the preseason. And three guys will be cut. Come this weekend. So it could be there's four candidates really. So everybody has guaranteed 14 Pacers plus the two two-way guys have fully guaranteed contracts for the Pacers. I'm not going to run through all the names, but the four guys who don't have a fully guaranteed contract are Keelan Martin, Nazmi Trulog, Amida Brima, and Rayshon Hammonds. So Hammonds played for 47 seconds at the end of the Pacers' first preseason game against the Cavs. Amita Brima played in the preseason last year, then tore his ACL before he got to the Mad Ants, and has not played with this preseason. He's actually not been with the team the entire preseason, which is interesting. Bjorkgren would not comment on that when I asked him if he could expand on that a little more. Mitri Long was with the Pacers last year on a two-way, has not appeared yet in this preseason. And then Keelan Martin has appeared for many, many minutes in fourth quarters and even, I think, the third quarter of a couple games. But he only has a partially guaranteed contract, half guaranteed. So what are the Pacers going to do? Well, they're going to if the easiest thing they can do is just waive Mitri Long, Hammonds, and Brima. Those guys are on an Exhibit 10 contract, which means if they get waived, it costs the Pacers nothing. They're not on the cap sheet. And all three of those guys get a small bonus if they report to the Mad Ants this year. Ridiculous Upside, who covers the G League for SB Nation, reported the Mad Ants will be opting in to the G League bubble. So if those guys do report to the Mad Ants, they will be playing in actual games in the G League. Some teams are opting out of that. Apparently the Mad Ants are not. So those guys can make their bonus by reporting to the Mad Ants and helping that team be good this year. So that's the most likely thing to me, is that sometime over this weekend you will see the Pacers do a press release where they waive those three guys. But I mentioned Keelan Martin for a calculated reason here, and that's that I don't think he's totally out of the woods yet. I would say the chances he gets waived is super, super small, like 1%, 2%, but not impossible, because first of all, there's a game tonight, and one of the other three guys could just totally pop and wow you and make you think you have to keep him. Again, super unlikely, but anyway. But the real reason is his contract is only half guaranteed. It's $700,000 out of $1.45 million or something like that. So if he is cut, the Pacers save $700,000 on their cap sheet, which would get them under the luxury tax. And that is really important for this team. Now, it'd be super easy for them to get under at any point during the season. They could make a trade at any time. They could even cut Martin mid-season and still get under. So I don't think they'll do this at all. I mean, it'd have to be like, I think both of the things would have to happen, honestly. I think someone would have to impress them so much against the Sixers, and they would have to want to get under the, realize that that would help them get under the tax and just cut Martin outright. For this to happen, but he could, in theory, because of the savings, get cut. But he's been playing a lot in the preseason. He's looked okay. Looked pretty good in the first game, not so good in the second game. But he's looked good enough that I think he'll end up making the final roster, and they could cut him midseason and still reap the same savings, because the way those guarantees work, he's on a minimum deal. He's paid a prorated amount every game. So eventually there'll be a break-even point, right, where he's made as much as his guarantee, and they could just cut him then. He'll make the same money and be on the team for a while, and then they'll have, you know, an open roster spot and still be saving the cash. That's what I am officially predicting for the season, but this is not covering what I'm predicting. This is covering what could happen. Other than that, I don't think anyone else's roster spot is in jeopardy, because everybody's on a fully guaranteed deal, and the Pacers would just be eating that money. And given that they're so close to the tax, I don't think they're going to do that, especially because the top 13 guys all are basically a lock. So the only person who has a fully guaranteed deal that isn't that good is Jalen Lequeux. And he, because his deal's fully guaranteed, waiving them means would be just kind of dumb, basically. So he's probably safe. So, yeah, one of those four guys, Martin, Hammonds, Mitri Long, and Brima, three of them will be waived this weekend, and it's very likely to be Mitri Long, Brima, and Hammonds. The other cap thing the Pacers have coming up, I think the deadline is the 29th of December, 27th maybe. That's a Friday. I can just look at dates. Or no, it's not. It's it's after Christmas. I think it's the 29th. I think it's Tuesday the 29th. Late this month, after the season starts though, the Pacers have to submit the team options for the fourth year of Aaron Holiday's contract and the third year of Goga Bitadze's contract. I'm going to spoil something for you. This is not sourced. I'm just telling you because it's no-brainer decisions. They'll pick up both of those team options. So basically, on rookie scale contracts for guys picked in the first round, that you pick up their team options a year early. So Aaron Holiday's fourth year option is picked up after his second year. And Goga Bitadze's third year option is picked up after his first year. And then that means they're on that year of their deal becomes guaranteed. So they will pick up both of those guys' options. I mean, it's just going to happen. No one's third-year option gets declined. Like, no rookie has their third-year option declined, even if they're just god-awful as a rookie. And Aaron's good enough that they're going to probably just try to keep him for a long time, so obviously they're going to pick up the fourth-year option. So I don't know when they'll actually decide on that, or the press release will come out, but because they're super obvious decisions, I figure, I mean, they'll just come out in the same press release as waiving the guys. But who knows, right? Sometimes with these guys on the fringes, I mean, neither of these guys are on the fringes. They're going to get picked up. But sometimes with these guys on the fringes, because the date is actually after the regular season starts, teams try to use the first couple of games to evaluate the guy. If you'll recall, Nick Stauskas for the Sixers played really well in the first couple of games one season and got his option picked up because he was so good. And lo and behold, he wasn't that good of a player and was just really hot. But good for him. He earned the money by playing good. So Aaron and Goga, not that interesting. They'll get those team options picked up. It's not even a full segment to talk about. So, yeah, we'll see how they finalize their roster and pivot to the future with those moves very shortly within the next 10, 12 days. So be on the lookout for that. All right, last thing I want to talk about is my own article I wrote about continuity. So let's take a short little break and talk about that. But first, in the interim here, I got to talk to you guys about Built Go, because Built Go is helping you break through your wall. Built Go is the healthy replacement for your energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It is lasting and natural. They are 1.5 ounce energy gels, and they're absolutely delicious. They can help you break through your physical wall, mental wall, whatever. You can break through it with Built Go every day. You can put it in your briefcase, your golf bag, your pocket, whatever it is. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a Monster with a third of the caffeine and better results. It combines energy gel with collagen protein, and it's fast absorbing, so it gets into your system quickly. It's easy on the stomach. It's really, really great. If you go to builtgo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, just LOCKED, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order with that promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Continuity. I'm going to keep this short because I already wrote about it, and this podcast is going longer than I want for. Wanted it to, excuse me. So I wrote about continuity because Kevin Pritchard said in his press conference at the end, or kind of after free agency, right, he said, one of the things we decided was it was either going to be a big move or we were going to value continuity. So that signals to me that the Pacers entered free agency, and again, they only were really had one key player in free agency in Justin Holiday. I think they entered free agency and they said, if we don't get Hayward, we're just running it back, right? There's no one else good enough out there for us to sacrifice a guy in a trade or break open the bank of the full MLE and go into the tax for. And I agree. I honestly agree with that assessment. So that was a big statement, though, right? They basically decided their plan was Hayward or the same guys. So they think, maybe they don't value those the same way, but their pecking order of best options for their offseason was one, improve via Hayward, or two, improve via continuity. And I don't know, you know, continuity is, I get how it makes teams better. I wrote this in the article, Forbes.com, go check it out. Is that I get how it makes you better, right? Right at the beginning of the season, your team is so familiar with each other that, you know, teams that are still feeling each other out or whatever, like bring in a bunch of new guys, you beat them, right? The Pacers started 0-3 last year because they had no continuity. They had like 7 new guys. So you beat those teams, right? And then throughout the season, you just grow together. Your young guys get older. Great. You get better. I get how it helps you. I also get why it's frustrating for fans because all the other East teams did something. Like some, even if it's just some minor stuff, they did something. But I wanted to really contextualize what continuity ends up like for teams, right? Because just saying how it can help doesn't mean it's going to help. And they switch coaches, right? So that's a factor as well. But, you know, if it always made teams better, teams would pursue continuity more often than they do. It's not something that's pursued very often. So I just wanted to dig into some stuff for this. First of all, I asked players about it. All of them seem to like it. You know, I think it's so rare that players just like the feeling of familiarity early on in the process. We'll see how much it sticks into the season. But anyway, let's dig into some numbers on continuity here. So the Pacers are bringing back 13 guys who last year played 17,233 minutes for the Pacers, and that's in 73 games. So if you turn that number into what it would be in an 82-game season, it goes to 19,538 minutes returning from last season for the Pacers, which is a ton, okay? So John Schumann of NBA.com, he's the data guy for them. He does continuity rankings every year. So he ranks the number of minutes teams have coming back. So I looked at the last 3 years to see how many teams had over 19,000 minutes coming back. Guess how many? It was zero. No team has brought back that many minutes from the prior season in the last 3 seasons. Those are just the easily accessible continuity rankings I could find. I'm sure the rest aren't that hard to find, but I just want to do last 3 seasons, modern era, whatever. 18,000 minutes. Let's bring the threshold down 1,000 minutes, right? Players play somewhere like 1,500 in a typical season. If they're hurt, it's like 1,000, right? So that's a whole player, basically. Cut down a whole player. There's only three teams in the last 3 years have had 18,000 minutes. Exactly one per season. So this is easy. the 2017-18 Warriors, the 2018-19 Heat, and the 2019-20 Nuggets. So let's run through those teams. First, 2017-18 Golden State Warriors. This one's a joke. They won the championship in 2017. They had Kevin Durant. They're capped out. They said, we're good. They ran it back, and guess what? They won a championship again. Terrible comparison. That's the best team ever. I do not think that they valued continuity for any reason other than that they just won a championship. Next, the Heat. This one actually is interesting. Okay, so the Heat, and this is kind of adjacent to the Pacers. So that in 2017, the Heat signed a bunch of guys. Kelly Olynyk, Deion Waiters, James Johnson, Goran Dragic. They gave all these big deals out to their roster, bring it back. And they won 44 games in 2017-18. So they were sixth in the East. They lost in the first round to the Sixers. Okay. So they go into 2018-19, and they just re-signed all these guys, so they have no space. So they just say, screw it, we just got sixth. We kind of like our guys. We invested in them. They ran it back. And they did worse. They went 39-43 and did not make the playoffs. Right? So that is, you know, a middling East team getting worse. And that is what the Pacers can fear this year, right? They can look at that and go, oh, shit. Very recently, a well-coached team with some good players. I mean, they weren't awesome. They didn't have Jimmy Butler yet, but they had some good players. They got worse with running it back. Okay, that's bad. Denver Nuggets the next year. 2018-19 Nuggets go 54-28 and lose in the conference semis to the Blazers. And they run it back, and they have a worse regular season. They go 46-27 last year. Over a full season, I think it's like 52 wins, right? So a little worse, but they make the conference finals, right? They almost lose in two different series, though, so it's a kind of an interesting one. But continuity helped them get a little farther, and it made them about the same in the regular season. So that's what the Pacers want, is even if they take a small step back in the regular season, they're good enough in the playoffs to go farther than they were before. So of the two teams who had a ton of continuity minutes in the recent past, they have one that got worse and one that got a little better. So not really a ton of helpful information there. So the difference for me here that I wanted to distinguish is neither of those teams had a coaching change. They kept the same coach from year to year. So it's a little different where the Pacers could play a little differently. So let's find one of those. Let's find an example of a team that brought back a ton of stuff but changed coaches. Well, we don't have to go that far back. So thankfully, Dan Feldman of NBC wrote an article about continuity as well, and the Pacers bringing back 98% of their minutes from last year. They will become the 17th team ever to do that, 98% of their minutes. Only three teams, the Pacers becoming the third since 2000, have brought back 98% of their minutes, okay? The 2002 Kings, the 2002 Kings, the 2015-16 Bulls, and this year's Pacers team. Kings kept the same roster and the same coach, whatever, like tons of same dudes. So let's go to this Bulls team because the Bulls team changed coaches. So I thought they would be an awesome barometer here. The Bulls had Tibbs. This is the D. Rose, Jimmy Butler, Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson, Kirk Heinrich squad. They had Tibbs in 2014-15. They went 50-32. Good team. About as good as the Pacers were last year. And they lost in the second round. And I think they lost to LeBron. Anyway. Then they fire Tibbs and bring in Fred Hoiberg. And Fred Hoiberg comes in and is not so awesome, right? He was a great coach, I think, in Nebraska in the NCAA. And then comes in, and they go 42-40, and they don't make the playoffs. And then they immediately trade Derrick Rose and lose Joakim Noah. So that is a coaching change one coming in. So the first thing that stands out to me there that makes this not a perfect barometer is that team was old, right? Noah was old. Taj Gibson was old. Kirk Heinrich was old. Rose was shaky at that point at best. Like, that squad was old, man. So the Pacers are not old. The Bulls had six guys over 30. The Pacers have one. So it could have just been natural decline. Now, Hoiberg was also not the greatest coach. I think he only made the playoffs once as the head of the Bulls. But I thought that was interesting. They got worse. So continuity, recent trends are kind of all over the place. So it's hard to say if it's good or bad just from that. And I think that is what that made me go, okay, that's why teams don't pursue this very often. Because and part of the reason the Pacers did it is they're capped out. They just can't really spend. But you know, teams don't pursue this as much because there isn't so much evidence that it's like the best thing to do. It's you know, who knows? It could be the Nuggets. You could click in the playoffs because you got the same guys coming back and you look a little better. You could be the Heat and you take a small step back. And there's a play-in tournament this year. You don't want to take a small step back this year. So it's a really big bet. And I think continuity, I get why KP is leaning in on it as an idea, both from a team-building perspective and just from a human element here. They just signed so many of these guys last year. So I get why they're doing it, and I get why fans hate it, and I get why it's a scary bet, right? If it works, awesome. Like this team will stick around for even longer, and maybe they only shake up a little bit next year. But if it doesn't work, like Turner could be traded during the season, Depot could be traded. I mean, it's a big bet. So that's what the article is about. You should read it. You can read all these numbers in detail and read quotes from players. Malcolm Brogdon, Jeremy Lamb, Victor Oladipo, and Sabonis, and Bjorkren himself. I'll talk about continuity. So I asked a lot of people what they thought about it. I think it's good. You should go read it. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. I'm excited that the preseason will be over tonight, and I'm excited to watch the game. So follow me on Twitter if you want to talk about the game with me there, at TEastNBA. This podcast is on Twitter, at Locked On Pacers. Also, Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA show is doing division preview. Central Division just came out. You can go check that out and all the other ones for some more NBA knowledge to impress your family and friends around the holidays. But thank you guys so much for listening today. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.